The Bible contains many foreshadows of the arrival of Jesus scattered throughout the Old Testament as clues that point to his eventual arrival as the Savior of the world. But would it shock you to find out that the Antichrist also has many foreshadows of his own dark arrival littered throughout the Old Testament? Stay tuned for more of this shocking revelation. Welcome to Skywatch TV. If you missed last week, and I know I say this every week, but if you missed last week, you absolutely must go back to the archives and check that program out. Special guest in studio talking about his new book, The Final Nephilim, and I'm going to introduce him to you right now. He's a biblical researcher and writer with an emphasis in ancient Hebrew thought and theology. He received his Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from the University of Rochester and his JD from Columbia University Law School, a very smart guy, Ryan Peterson. We had to work on some way of abbreviating all of your credentials, Ryan.
That was good. You did a great job.
We labored through it. We came up with something we could put in less than 15, 30 seconds, right? Man, last week, the Nephilim. It's not something unfamiliar to the viewers of Skywatch, but didn't we not learn something new even yet about a discussion we've thought long since overly familiar to us? And of course, these thoughtful commentaries by Ryan Peterson all throughout his new book, The Final Nephilim. And again, if you missed last week, please go back to the archives and check it out. It'll bring you up to speed. Ryan, very quickly, though, for somebody happening upon these programs that missed last week, maybe they've never heard what is a Nephilim. Before we lose them in a bunch of techno jarble, what is a Nephilim and why would anyone care?
They were the half-fallen angelic, half-human hybrids, giants, in the days of Noah. They were the reason for the flood, and they emerged after the flood. When we think of Goliath as the most famous example.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think people just heard you say, wait a minute, Goliath, was he a Nephilim? Because everybody's heard David versus Goliath, right?
Exactly. And yes, he was a descendant of the Nephilim giants from the days of Noah.
And we put into good framework, I think, last week, why people living in 2022 would care about something like the Nephilim and how, of course, in the book, The Final Nephilim, it is revealed, at least Ryan Peterson's perspective, is this is the individual that could make up very well the Antichrist who might be living today. This could be somebody that's born now that is working his way through our political atmosphere, our business, our socio-economical atmosphere, to arrive on scene with all the answers when the world is in abject chaos, no?
Exactly. And he could be. And again, we have to remember that Jesus, the Lord, particularly said, as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So the Lord pointed to say, look to that time. And what do we see there? The birth of the Nephilim.
Right. Your book puts a major emphasis on foreshadows and typology, and I kind of hinted at that at the lead-in of the program. But how does this apply to the Antichrist in your view?
Sure. Well, I think that foreshadows or similitudes, as God calls them in the book of Hosea, I call that God's writing style, that God takes the events of earliest times in Scripture to highlight future prophecy unfolding. We see that, you know, you think of Jesus and John the Baptist called him, behold, the Lamb of God, going back to the days of the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lambs that were all pointing to Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross. Well, at the same time, conversely, there are foreshadows of the Antichrist throughout the Old Testament. And I think identifying those foreshadows are the key to truly understanding the prophecies of Revelation.
Foreshadows of the beast, and I'm putting that in air quotes, but you make some interesting, you have a chapter in your book called Foreshadows of the Beast, and you make some interesting connections to the Antichrist. Can you explain how Judas is connected to the Antichrist? I don't know that many of us have heard that connection.
Well, of course, we're familiar with the account of Judas, the disciple who betrayed our Lord.
Right, of course, sure.
But when you look deeper at the details of his life, there are some sinister connections to the Antichrist.
Wow.
So we can start off with the fact that in Luke chapter 22, Judas is the only person in the Bible who was possessed by Satan. He was indwelled.
Say that again in case people missed that.
Sure.
We fly right over that. Just say that again if you would.
Yeah, in Luke chapter 22, Judas is the only person in the entire Bible who was possessed by the devil. Satan indwelled Judas in the moments before he betrayed him to the Pharisees and the Roman authorities.
Wow. You know what's interesting about that? A couple months ago, I started reading through the Gospels, and at one point where I got to the point with the Last Supper and Judas being there, earlier it mentioned Jesus was the bread of life. And then if you notice, he passes the bread to people and they eat it. And then when he passes the bread of life to Judas, it doesn't say that he ate it. It says Satan entered him and he left. That could be a foreshadow of this is a man of death.
Exactly. And that's a perfect example of the pictures that God gives us that unfold much greater revelation.
I think I heard at least seven of you.
Can I ask a question?
Please. Absolutely.
So you're talking about foreshadows of the Antichrist in the Old Testament, but other than Goliath, is there an example? And also, do you believe that there are modern foreshadows, like, for example, Hitler, or people who have done these terrible travesties to humanity? Some people have compared him to an Antichrist. I feel like if I lived at that point in time, I would think I was watching it unfold. Yeah. And yet here we are almost 100 years later, and we're still here. So do you think, first of all, what are the other examples of Old Testament foreshadowings of the beast? And do you believe there are modern ones? And if so, can you name any?
Sure. And looking in the Old Testament, I think there are a number of examples. One, I think, very prominent foreshadow of the Antichrist we find is with King Nebuchadnezzar. Mm. So you can look, one, he was the king of Babylon. The Antichrist kingdom is called Mystery Babylon the Great. Mm-hmm. He, of course, was a persecutor of Israel. He destroyed the temple, which the Antichrist will go and desecrate the temple, declaring himself to be God. And then when you look at some of the details of his career in Daniel chapter 2, he erects a golden statue of himself, which must mm-hmm. be worshipped under penalty of death, precisely what is going to happen in Revelation 13 when the Antichrist sets up the wow. image of the beast that must be worshipped under penalty of death. We look at the dimensions of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar built. It was 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and 6 instruments played to signal when it was time to worship.
Wow.
666. Again, another prophetic foreshadow and repetition to the number of the beast in Revelation, which of course is 666.
Wow.
And then the greatest foreshadow, I think, from Nebuchadnezzar's life was in Daniel 4, when he has this dream of this giant tree that is cut down and punished. And Daniel, of course, tells him in the dream, that tree is you. Mm-hmm. If you do not repent, God is going to judge you. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar does not repent. And when he is judged, he is transformed to a human beast hybrid for 7 years. He mm-hmm. grows feathers. The Bible says he has claws and he lives outside like an animal for 7 years. And of course, the Antichrist in Revelation 13, we're told he's a man, yet he's a beast. He has the number of a man, but he's the number of the beast. So he foreshadows the hybrid nature of the Antichrist.
The common interpretation of that one is that he had a beast's heart, or he was acting like a beast. But in your book, you mentioned that the Bible doesn't say that.
Exactly. And I think, and this is why I love the small details of Scripture, because it's specifically telling you that he right. grew animal parts. It wasn't just wow. that he went insane or right. that he just felt angry.
Right.
He literally changed.
Right. Wow. That's interesting, too, because we've all watched, you know, Bible-esque documentaries mm-hmm. or, you know, cartoons for children where they show Nebuchadnezzar and he flees out. And he's almost in this wilderness journey by himself, but you don't ever actually see it depicted as he grew animal parts. It's just that he went insane, or the solidarity of it was too much for him to emotionally withstand. So it's interesting that you point that out.
It's more than that. In the Bible and theology classes that I've taken, they describe him kind of going insane and living in the wilderness for a while. I've never heard this before.
Well, that's why Ryan Peterson is here.
That's what I'm here for. Absolutely, absolutely. Praise God. And also on top of that, and this might interest my good friend here, Derek Gilbert, is that when that punishment was pronounced in the dream of the tree being cut down, it was done by the watcher angels.
That's right, by the decree of the watchers. So not all of the watchers are evil. Clearly, this is a class of angelic beings, some of whom rebelled, as we see in the book of 1 Enoch that describes the in more detail what happens in Genesis 6. But here in Daniel 4, clearly God created what is called by scholars the divine counsel, a phrase drawn from Psalm 82. They carry out God's will. Say, okay, what are you going to do to Nebuchadnezzar? Ah, let's drive him crazy. I like the way Dr. Michael Heiser puts it. Hey, we had a meeting. We decided, King, you're a jerk. So we're going to drive you crazy for 7 years. How do you like that? And that's exactly what happens. It's the details of Scripture. The spirit realm is a lot more complicated and a lot more interesting than we've been taught.
Exactly.
Wow.
I want to take just a second, too, to mention something that we've started doing in our programs. And the viewers at home, you may have noticed this. Up on your screen, you will see what is called a QR code. And this is all kind of new to me. And again, last week I confessed we stole the idea from Ryan Peterson. But, you know, in any case, when you take your cell phone and you point it towards the screen, your phone, based on whatever mobile app you're using for photos, should identify that QR code and automatically open a web browser link directly to the skywatchtvstore.com, where you can take advantage of our special offers, packages like the one we're making available with Ryan Peterson's new book, The Final Nephilim, which brings me to another point, Ryan, that we talked about last week. In and throughout your book, you decided to include QR codes. So as a person is thumbing through the book, they're reading, they're researching, they'll happen upon these QR codes that they can simply use their cell phone, take the image, press the button, and automatically be, what, flighted through the internet, directed to immediately. This is how unhip I am, but I've seen it work, right? And suddenly they are consuming digital content that supports what else is in the book.
Exactly. So it will pop up immediately on your screen. You get video commentary on different chapters in the book and different concepts that I expand on. And again, the whole idea was twofold, just to give extra content. There's some topics in the videos I don't even cover in the book. But also, you know, it's so urgent that we share the gospel now and share
right,
God's word
absolutely.
In every medium possible. Right. And so video is so popular, especially right. with younger people.
Yes.
If you have a teen or a child at home, they may not read the whole book, but you can show
sure.
them that video.
That's yeah. great.
And it's a way to share and engage with them as well.
I'm so glad
yeah.
that we learned that you were doing that so that we could start doing that. But in the book, no, okay. What a great guy. What a great idea. And here's the thing. Ryan's right. We have to use every tool
Absolutely.
That we have at our fingertips to reach this generation. Very quickly, I might also tease, Drew, some of the content that we're putting in this special offer. So what we've started doing in recent months, when we have a guest on the program, while they are here in town, we are recording exclusive content that's never been revealed anywhere before. We are having it produced to DVD. I've got Josh Peck on standby. He's going to be producing a DVD later on with Ryan. And Drew, if you would, talk to the viewers about a couple of the things that we're creating that go in this package when they take advantage of this offer.
Well, with this package, you're going to get a DVD called Quantum Prophecy. And it's Josh Peck, with all his knowledge of science and passion for those types of things, he's going to be sitting with Ryan Peterson. They're going to be talking about quantum prophecy and
so
where
it's kind
God
of a one-on-one
fits.
Discussion?
Yes.
Great.
And the high production value. We're not talking just two people sitting in a chair in a room.
Right,
this
right,
is
right.
like, you know, there's the B-roll. There's
DVD
verses.
Quality, right.
Yes, it's totally interactive.
Totally interactive, yeah.
And then we're going to have another DVD called The Assyrian. And it's going to be about this mysterious figure, who I believe next episode we're going to be talking about. This figure who is just in the Old Testament, and is he a foreshadow of the Antichrist? Is he the spirit of the Antichrist? It's a whole DVD on that with, again, high production values, and both are custom tailored to fit exactly into the final Nephilim.
Right, right, right. So it's a very thoughtful package because we really, really feel called to educate.
Yes.
And to be a platform where I believe people that have been called by God, who have a calling on their lives, that are being obedient, like Ryan Peterson, can come, and we're able to help distribute their message as well. So without further ado, folks, I want to show you how you at home can get a copy of this special offer. We'll be right back.
The book of Genesis prophesied that the Messiah would be born of the seed of the woman, but Genesis also predicted another seed would arrive on earth, and he is the final Nephilim. Skywatch TV is proud to present The Final Nephilim Skywatch Exclusive. When you order Ryan Peterson's new book, The Final Nephilim, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the never-before-seen exclusive DVD content, Quantum Prophecy, starring Ryan Peterson and Josh Peck, and The Assyrian, a video expose of an ancient evil. In the new groundbreaking book, The Final Nephilim, author and researcher Ryan Peterson details how, while many have portrayed the Antichrist to be a charismatic military genius, he will actually be something far more sinister. He is the final Nephilim, a fallen angelic human hybrid who will use occult power to lure most of the world into the greatest deception in human history. Through his revelatory research, Ryan Peterson answers questions such says, will the fallen angels once again attempt to mingle themselves with the seed of men? Who or what is the Antichrist? And does he have a supernatural origin? What is the connection between quantum physics and the biblical symbolism of the scroll? What role do UFOs and alien phenomena play in end-time events? And how do Jesus' warnings about the days of Noah decipher the prophecies of Revelation? You'll also receive the never-before-released interview, Quantum Prophecy, on DVD, where Skywatch TV's own Josh Peck sits down with Ryan Peterson to speak about quantum physics as it relates to biblically prophetic topics, such as the Mark of the Beast, ancient antichrists, and angels. And as an added bonus, Quantum Prophecy also includes four of the absolute best episodes of Josh Peck's popular television show, Into the Multiverse, entitled Untangling Quantum Entanglement, Quantum Tunneling, The Strangeness of Quantum Fields, and The Real Science and Fake Religion of Quantum Biology. But that's not all. We're also including the never-before-seen content on DVD entitled The Assyrian, where Ryan Peterson goes into detail about an ancient evil who once walked on the earth and is set to return from the abyss to enter human flesh once again and to continue his reign of terror. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So prepare for a study in Revelation that travels through time and space to decipher the most mysterious prophecies of the apocalypse. This collection is only available through Skywatch TV, so don't delay. The final Nephilim Skywatch exclusive, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Artishorn. We're in studio today with Ryan Peterson. We're talking about his new book, The Final Nephilim. With just a few minutes on the clock, I want to hit the ground running and dive right back in, Ryan. Talking about the book of Isaiah, you point to several chapters as detailing the rise and fall of Antichrist. What are these chapters and what do they say?
Isaiah chapters 10 to 14, again, really outline the end times career of Antichrist. And it starts off by saying that God calls the Antichrist the tool of mine anger. God is ultimately using the Antichrist to judge the unsaved world, but also to test Israel, to refine the believing remnant and bring them back to believing faith in Christ. And as you go through, you see that it outlines his actual battle plan. It lists the towns that go from Megiddo to Jerusalem in order, south by southwest, on his rampage, heading towards Armageddon, which, of course, is a series of battles. And ultimately, in Isaiah 14, we see his defeat prophesied, specifically at the end of Isaiah 14, where it specifically says that the Lord will break the Assyrian on my mountain, in the mountains of Israel.
The Assyrian is a character that shows up a number of times in Scripture. Isaiah, but of course Micah, other references to this character, often interpreted by end times Bible students as the Antichrist in the last days. How does he factor into Isaiah chapter 14, that very famous chapter that in the King James has that passage, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" What's the relationship between the Assyrian and Lucifer?
Yes, well, first off, I agree that the Assyrian is the most common title for the Antichrist in the Old Testament, and that's how he's described in those four chapters. And when we get to that famous passage, Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, I believe that applies to the Antichrist. Many people believe it applies to the devil, but I think, you know, they are one in purpose in the end times. They are working in unison. So it's the Antichrist who's actually going to be set up ruling the world and attempting to take over. And so I think that applies to him. And again, we get the confirmation at the end of Isaiah 14, because it specifically identifies the Assyrian as the one who's actually in view in that passage. Mm-hmm. And he's a figure that's been around, from the beginning. And in my first book, Judgment of the Nephilim, I point out that he was the fallen angel, the preeminent angel of the pre-flood world in the days of Noah.
Let me ask you guys a question. And Derek, you know, jump in on this if you want. We are not in the business at Skywatch TV of setting dates. Okay, so that's not what I'm doing. But I always have these curiosities, and I'm always interested in people's reactions. So not to put anybody on the spot, but what are the odds the Antichrist is born now, and he's about to step out in public? Maybe he's there now. Maybe people have already recognized him, and he's positioning himself in our socioeconomic, our financial systems, our political systems. Just shooting from the hip, what are the odds he's alive now and about to take stage?
I think that there are good odds that he's alive, where, you know, we can see in the next 10, 15, 20 years, I think there is a good chance that he will emerge onto the global stage.
Yeah. And again, not setting dates, it's just really difficult for me to imagine when we look at everything that's going on right now. And of course, if we're all here still and the Lord is tarrying and our children are growing up and all that, I'll be the first one to admit that my instincts were incorrect. But it's hard for me to imagine that we have 25 years left at the rate we're going. And Ali mentioned, you know, before about, you know, Adolf Hitler. If you were alive during World War II and you were a Jew, you might be living out a nightmare that feels very much like this man is Antichrist, this is the end of the age, and here we are almost 100 years later, we're still here, which is why I'm not in the business of setting dates. But I'm just saying, what are the odds? And the reason I ask that is because it brings up another very interesting point of thought. If you're watching this program, if you're here in the audience today, these are the reasons we're unpacking these conversations. What we're trying to do is wake up a generation to say, hey, this isn't just all archaeology. This isn't all just ancient history. This isn't all just something that happened a gazillion years ago and it's not relevant now. These are the very things that, Ryan, you mentioned earlier, that my father has mentioned many times, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the signs of Jesus' second imminent return. So what does that look like? When you're talking about the Nephilim, these large giants, what does that look like? Are we, and I'm just playing, you know, I'm playing armchair psychologist to the guy on the couch. He might be wondering, if he's watching these shows, are we really going to see giants reemerge? Is that a possibility?
Well, Daniel chapter 2 tells us this prophecy that in the end times, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And I believe that's a direct reference to the fallen angels attempting this, again, this mingling of seed. And I think there are two things that stand out to me. One, when we look in society right now at all the billions of dollars, you have Silicon Valley moguls pouring money into genetic research, exploring the human genome, designer babies, life extension technology. What is inspiring that? What spirits are inspiring all this research? The spirit of the age, the demons, the spirits of the dead Nephilim. And then the second thing I look to as well is the mark of the beast.
Right.
You know, I believe that there's an economic and a genetic component to the mark.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we'll see the final effort to mingle fallen angelic seed with human DNA. And I think that's why anyone who takes the mark is disqualified from redemption.
You can see this playing out. I mean, if you've been alive for the last couple of years, you can already see, despite what your view of a vaccination is, you can absolutely see people's reaction to it is generally acceptable. And then, of course, there's this sub-caveat of people that believe all vaccines are nefarious and everything is the devil's workshop. And I will tell you, there is a lot of substantial research that points to pharmakia. There is a negative side of the industry that is medicine. I've written about this in my book Unlocking Eden and my book Time Bomb. But you can see this, this part of society where if and when the Antichrist were to emerge, and let's say the power brokers of the earth were to reveal a viral bioweapon, and then the guy that authors the virus for a computer that then offers the malware or the software that is supposed to rid your computer of the virus, both introducing the problem, creating the chaos, creating the desperate need for governments to step forward with a solution. We're going to lose everything we've ever loved and every person we've ever known. Then suddenly, and my mom was the first one I ever heard talk about this, the idea that Antichrist might coordinate an effort to get people vaccinated, potentially against their will, offering it as the only path to saving the lives of your children, those lives of those that you love. But here's the therein, right? The vaccine itself may contain things that tinker with DNA, RNA, and maybe the promise is, hey, we have to tinker with your human genome in order to save you.
Yeah.
Now, people can say whatever they want, but I'm telling you, if the entire planet was watching Giga Death take place and people bleeding at the eyes and at the ears like that movie, The Outbreak, I'm telling you that there would be a lot of people forget everything they think they want to know about Bible prophecy, and they would race to that vaccine because they're not going to be able to deal with the giga death as it affects their family. It's one thing if it's some other country and it doesn't affect my backyard, but as they're confronted with that reality and it's sweeping through their communities, I'm just telling you. And they would figure, you know, the Lord will forgive me later for whatever I've done to my genetics. But what does that do to soul? What does that do, Derek, Ryan, Drew? What does that do to your capacity to remain a human being as genetically whole the way God designed you? What does that do? Do you see what I'm getting at?
I think this is the vector by which the fallen and the Antichrist will get us to do what they tried to do, or their brothers who are now confined in the abyss in chains and gloomy darkness tried to do back in Genesis chapter 6. The current crop of rebels saw what happened to their brothers, and we're not doing that, but we'll get the humans to do it for us by promising, you will be as gods. This is the heart of the transhumanist movement, this idea that we will somehow overcome death through science.
Right.
But as we read in Revelation chapter 9, when he does emerge, when the abyss opens up, they will long for death, and death, interestingly, Thanatos, the rider on the pale horse, will flee from them.
Donna Howell and I talked about this in Dark Covenant, talked about the manipulation that takes place of the populace as a whole, because, you know, within the Christian realms, we have this tendency to forget that prophecy isn't just about whether or not the church is ready and is watching for the Antichrist. The entire population as a whole has to be conditioned and ready to accept whatever he's bringing and whatever he's demanding and mandating and whatever else. And so it's happening to the entire population, not just in the church.
And I think the thing we need to be aware of, and this is why I went to Isaiah 14 and asked you about this, Ryan, that by identifying that there is another very, very powerful entity, the preeminent angel in the pre-flood world is the Antichrist. Now, he's the one coming back. Isaiah 14, Lucifer is not Satan. It's this other entity, and he's coming back. We need to be aware that there's more at work in the spirit realm among the fallen than just the devil and some minions.
Right.
We've got other very, very powerful entities that rebelled against our Creator. Thankfully, he's got our back.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And it makes me wonder, as we feature the book, The Final Nephilim, you know, Ryan, if you think that Christians as a whole are putting just too much emphasis on things like fallen angels and end times biblical prophecy, does it really affect our faith? I mean, it'll all work out in the end, right? I mean, God knows what he's doing. Why should I worry about it? We'll know when the rapture has happened if and when I'm suddenly gone, right? Are we spending too much time talking about what some Christians think is just silly? It's just silly. Fallen angels.
It's not enough time. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he said, "You did not know the time of your visitation." They missed the prophetic signs of his first coming and suffered for it. So we have to have that urgency. We need to keep prophecy at the forefront to not only help ourselves, but help the world know
that
Jesus is coming back.
That's right. And we pray that the Lord is using your ministry and the ministries like Skywatch Television to do that very thing. Friends, what do we think of Ryan Peterson? Huh? We're going to have to do this again next week. We're going to sit down again with Ryan Peterson to talk about the return of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and the mingling of angelic and human DNA. It's not one you're going to want to miss. For everybody here in studio, I'm Joe Artis Horn. Ryan, thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.